Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Now, this morning is our communion service. So please, just at the end, we're just going to preach a little bit and then we're going to partake of the communion together. Amen. Then also, I'm sure you've heard about the new times for fasting now. The new times. The new times have the times starting this coming Friday. Yes. Amen. Amen. We are fasting from Friday until Saturday. Those are the new times. Ask your neighbor, are you listening? Are you hearing what Pastor is saying? The Pastor is talking to you. Amen. All right. Next week, Sunday the 14th, we're going to have Shepherd Lawrence join us here at the First Love Cathedral. He will be sharing the word. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. He's a mighty man of God. And he will be here next week, and I will be in Rebecca next week. Amen. And then on the 21st, we are relaunching ABC Letlabile. So, on the 21st, I will also not be here. I will be in Letlabile with Brother Siango Beze and the whole team that side. Amen. We finally got a venue, so we want to take a step of faith and enter there. Amen. Take your seat. God bless you. Hallelujah. So those are the few announcements. Let's prepare very well for Shepherd Lawrence next week, Sunday. Amen. And in preparation for these changes, yes, we're going to have a song for like 45 minutes or an hour, but I want to meet all the church workers right after this service. So for this Sunday, we're going to suspend a song just for this Sunday. And I'm going to have a church workers meeting with all the people that are involved in church work. Amen. Even if you were working before and you've resigned. Those of you, you know yourselves. You were working actively. And I can't remember when you sent your resignation, but I just realized that you've resigned. Praise God. So I want to meet all of us right after the service, after we say our goodbyes and we greet and all of that. Please, just for a few minutes, I want to meet us just to encourage your spirit a bit, because I still feel the greatest thing you can do with your life is to serve God. Amen. So don't miss it. God bless you. I feel like just talking to you a little bit about the importance of you registering as a member of the church. Our brother was just talking now about our membership updates. You know, there are very few things that you are involved with where you haven't registered. Number of us here, wherever your children is schooling, your details are there as well. They know you in the school because your son or your daughter is in that school. Meaning, if they want to get hold of you, they know exactly who to call. That's why your details are there. You are making the job of the school easier by registering yourself as well as registering your child. I know it is your child that is in the school, but your details are there too. Your name is there. Your cell phone number is there. All those things are there. Many of you here are affiliated to some clinics, hospitals. Your details are there too. The hospital has your details. You have a file. And this is a hospital maybe you only visit once every 5 years. Once every 3 years. Yet as soon as you enter the hospital, they open a file. And they want to know your name, your surname, your date of birth, everything about you. They have to know everything about you. Even a clinic. You just went to a clinic for consultation. They open a file. They open a file. Some of us have been part of this church for almost 5 to 6 years. And there's no file. There's no file. And we want to correct that. Now, membership is very scriptural. I don't want you to think we now want to hook you into something. I don't think you thought like that when you went to the clinic, that the clinic wanted to hook you into something. Is that how you thought when you went to the school, when they're asking for your details, this people want to hook me into something? But you see, this is how we are. As soon as it's church, all of a sudden, they want to do something with me. It's the devil. It's the devil that has come with this thing. Because everywhere you go, you want to go and join the gym, they ask for your deed. And you give freely. You give everything they ask you. You're giving people that will not even care for you if you are sick. A church that has been standing with you, training you, teaching you, helping you. Say, bring your details so that we put them in the system so we count you as one of our own. You say, hey, no, please. I don't want this. I want to quickly share with you something about membership because I don't think you understand what it is. Membership is very scriptural. It's the will of God. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Let's start there real quickly. NIV. Thank you. The Bible here says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord did what? To what? The Lord added to what? To their number. Not numbers. Look at the verse very well. The Lord added, meaning addition, to an existing number. So there's already a number, and God is adding to that number. Do you think if these people were not counted, and if we didn't know what the number was, and if you read the Bible, you will see that everything is precise. They will tell you 100 and this, there were 5,000 men were fed. Information. Clear information. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were not just added to the church, just like New King James said they were added to the church. But NIV says they were added to their number. So there was a number, and another number was added to that number. Meaning, I know the number that we had yesterday, I know the number we have today, because there were additions. So this is why I'm saying to you, membership is the will of God. God was adding to an existing number. Every child that joined the school is a number. Like they just add, they already know the number of students they have. And that's why they can tell you, no, we can't take any more. Because we've reached a certain number. If we don't know the number, we'll just keep taking students. And it will cause problems with administration. I want to ask you, what is the challenge if Allah Bible Church is the church God has sent you to? What is the challenge in registering yourself as a member? What is the challenge? Okay. Maybe you haven't registered yourself as a member. Where have you registered yourself? Maybe you don't want to register. Okay, where are you registered then? Like, where are you registered? Is there a church that has you as a member? Like where your number is added?
Is there a church like that? So you see, this is, we are addressing the issue of lack of commitment. Believers just like being around as visitors. For 10 years, visitors. You don't want to commit. John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I know my sheep. I cannot be a good shepherd if I don't know my sheep. In fact, what makes me a good shepherd is the fact that I know my sheep. I know my sheep. And when you say I know, what does that mean? I know your name. I know your age. I know where you stay. I know what is going on in your life. I know my sheep. Therefore, I can be a good shepherd to my sheep. Because I know my sheep. If you are not known by your shepherd, he cannot be a good shepherd to you. Now, when you now also say, no, I don't want to join the membership of the church, you are also just saying that I'm not a member of the church. We are quiet now. You are saying I'm not a member because here is registration. You are saying you don't want to register. I'm not saying you don't want to register. I'm teaching you something. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you don't want to register. I want you to register, but I want you to understand why you are doing what you're doing. You cannot say this is your church, but you will not commit. If you are saying to me, Pastor, I've already taken membership somewhere else, I understand. But some of you, there's no membership anywhere under heaven. And now, God has brought us to a level where we've got a system that can allow us to register everybody so that we never forget your birthday again. We never forget your anniversary again. We can trace everything that is going on in the family. Years from now, we will still be able to know who got born in the family. What are the weddings in the family? Like we have the whole file of your family. I know my sheep. Luke 15 verse 3 to 4. Are you blessed? I'm teaching you membership because I want you to register yourself. Register yourself. Do what is right. Luke 15 verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep. How many sheep?
100 sheep.
No. I think Jesus was just supposed to say, suppose one of you has sheep. How does he know it's 100? How will you know it's 100? Do you know? I don't know how many I don't know how many members I have at Kalayon. I have no clue. Because you are not registered. You are not registered. He says, I know my sheep. If I have 100 sheep, I counted them. I know exactly how many there are. And loses one of them. Think about it. What is the difference between 100 and 99? If you are looking at it just with your eyes, will you see any difference? You can never see that there's one missing. Because 100 looks exactly like 99. And 99 looks exactly like 100. For you to ever know that it is one is missing. I mean, if 10 are missing, then you can start noticing something. If 20 are missing, then you can notice something. But if it is one missing and it's 100, boy, if you are not a good administrator in terms of counting, you will never know one is missing. You will never know. It requires high level of administration to notice that one sheep is missing. And as you are helping us, we can help you better. We can know the number of people in your family, so we know how to pray for your family. We can even know the situation in the family. We can
can have notes. Okay, this family, there's this challenge, there's this challenge. So we know what to pray for. So we know which family pastor should see urgently, consistently. But some of us, I tell you, I think it's like you are a CIA agent. My God. FBI. You are there, but you are not there. You are a spy. You are a spy. A spy doesn't want you to know that they are there. Are you an FBI agent? Are you a CIA agent? Are you a spy? You working for Russia? Oh, are you working for Ukraine? Oh? Because that's our tendencies are FBI's tendencies. We are changing. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Look at this last verse I want to leave you with. Ephesians 5 verse 29. The Bible says, after all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 30. We are members of his body. We are members of his body. The church is the body of Christ, and we are members of the body of Christ. And every member must be registered. Do you know how many fingers you have? Your fingers are members. And you know how many fingers you have? Do you know how many toes you have? Do you know how many eyes you have? Imagine you didn't know how many toes you have. Like they change all the time. Like you wake up in the morning, you have 3 toes. And then another, you have 7 toes. And then the other, you have 66 toes. I mean, it's just like you never know what you have. All the members of your body are known. Your intestine, it's just that you don't know. But if you ask a doctor, he will tell you what is going on with your intestine. He will tell you. Praise the Lord forevermore. Are you blessed?
Oh, yes.
Are you blessed?
Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord. Look, we are members of the body. That's what we talk about. Membership. Membership. Because we are members of the body. And as a member of the body, you can be as small as a hair. The Bible says that the hair is numbered. Even the hair on your head is numbered. Or you can be as important as a heart. We know you are. There's one heart. We know. Yeah. So I want to encourage every one of us. If Pascal Ngwe is your pastor, I'm not talking to you as your pastor.
Amen.
And I'm saying, help me pastor you better.
Amen.
Help me know who is my sheep. Eh?
Yes.
I should know who are my sheep.
Yes.
This place is quiet. Let me shift. There are those 2 guys. This is how you know who is with you and who is not with you. Because when we are all here and there's no commitment, you can be deceived. Now when you say, no, let's see who is who. Hey! Then you start seeing colors. Then you start realizing you thought you were with people, but actually, Muruchi, actually, I have my church. I have my church. I'm just there because of the circumstantial conditions of life and climatic happenings, but actually, I have my church. Then I started discovering that you are actually not with me. I've got the church is full of FBI agents and CIA doctors. Mercy. You know, when God asked me to do this, I didn't know why. Now I'm beginning to understand. God is saying to me, you need to know what you have and what you don't have. Because people can deceive you into thinking they are with you. Meanwhile, they are actually not with you. It is just the circumstances of life that have allowed them to be with you for now. They are actually not with you. And they don't want to be with you. It's just for now. Like, but now when you start saying, okay, let's register yourself. And it's for free. We are not asking for 1 cent. But because people know what it means, they say, you know what? Let me think about it. It's a commitment. Who is registered yet? By a show of hands. Look at the big church. Look how many people have registered. Look how many people have registered in such a big church. We are just looking at each other. Yes, Pastor. Yeah. Amen. Now, membership is not by force. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, let us not treat each other like people treat a spare tire. Yeah. Many a times, I'm pulled into funerals on people that I never knew, were never part of this church, have never committed themselves at any level, but now we are pulled into something as a spare tire. I shouldn't say it. People use the church when it suits them. There's this pastor, no, please come and help us. Come and help us. And after that, they will not commit also to you to say, Pastor, the same way you are helping me, I'm also here. We are together. I want to say that God is also tired of being a spare tire. God is tired of this thing that you only need him when you are in trouble. But when you are fine, you don't need him. God is also tired of this thing. When will God become the steering wheel? Huh? Where you allow him to direct your life. People don't allow God to be the steering wheel, but when they have a puncture, God must become the spare tire. So when you accept that you are part of our membership, then my commitment with you also increases. I'm committed because you are a member. When you are not a member, it's my choice. If I have something else that is more important, I'm telling you the truth before God, I will not come. Because you are also not a member. You're not a member. You see, you don't like it when it's done this way. You see, everybody is already hot. You see how you are hot? You are all hot because you don't like it when it comes on your way, but you like doing it this side. Yeah. And I'm still talking very nicely. Am I shouting? I'm just saying the truth. I'm just speaking truthful things. And these people are looking at me like I have opened the can of worms of the dinosaurs of old. Like it's something, I brought something. We don't lack commitment. We don't lack commitment. But we like when other people are committed to us. Yeah. Have a little problem and I don't show up. Come and see the attitude. There's one I saw this past month. It has been a wonder to me. It's a marvel. A person I met less than 3 weeks. And I did things for the person that I've never done before. For anyone. My God. And then I travel. And during my trip, something bad happened to the person. When I come back, the person doesn't want to talk to me. The person is saying to me, you were not there when I needed you. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Wow. And I was not even in the country. That doesn't even matter. They've put a red pen on me straight. They've written me off. Yes, I'm saying that is the one I'm dealing with currently. Off, I'm written off. Yeah, because you had this problem and I wasn't there. And I've just been with you for 3 weeks.
You see, when you reverse it the other side, hey, people don't like it. But when they are doing it to you, they are enjoying it. They are enjoying it. Oh, yes. Look, if you are a member of this church, I want you to register yourself. That amen is not a strong amen. It's just like, amen, amen. Some of you, I've been your pastor for the past 6 years. I have taught you the word for 6-7 years. I've been on your side, by your side. I'm asking for you to register as a member. Do you know how you are hurting me? You are telling me that, pastor, you are not my pastor. That's what you are telling me. That all these years I've been working on you, I've been wasting my time. You don't consider yourself as my member. That's what you are saying to me. That's what you are saying to me. Yeah. I've been there through all the changing scenes of your life. I've assisted you where I could with the little I had. I'm asking for mere membership that tell me that, pastor, we are together. I say, hey, pastor, you know, I'll see you after the church. We will talk. Can we talk about this? Can we talk about this tomorrow after dinner, maybe something? And I'm talking, my two daughters are quiet. These two daughters here, they're not saying anything. They're quiet. They are quiet. They are looking at me like, pastor, hey, pastor, you don't know. You don't know. It's not easy. Truly, truly, pastoring is the most stressful job in the world. Because you deal with people and characters. You never know what you are dealing with. So I must speak the truth, but in love. Hallelujah. So I want to say, if Pascal Ngwe is your pastor, if I'm not, we don't have an issue. Come to the church, be a visitor, you know, be there until maybe God speaks to you. But I wanted to make you aware that we now have a system that allows us to register you, to know you, to even have your picture, such that if I transfer a new pastor here, he doesn't have to ask who is who. He just go on the file and he will see everybody that is there. Isn't that wonderful? That if Cyril Ramaphosa is no more our president, we don't have to go and get new ID books. The ID numbers are there. They will always be there. He can refer to just, the new president just has to punch the number and you appear. It makes the job easier. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I hope this helps you. I hope. I know maybe I even heard people now worse. Like, I mean, they were already heard. Now I have added more heads. Now they are worse. Like they say, pastor, even if I wanted to register, now I will not register at all. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, please, belong somewhere. Even if it's not a La Barbe church, but tell me the name of the church where you are registered and the pastor knows you. If there's nothing like that, then I don't think you are taking your faith seriously. Yeah. You're not taking your faith seriously because when you go to school, you cannot go to school and they say, oh, no, just bring the child. He said, what do you mean? He said, no, just bring the child. Let him be there. I'm sure you will say, but am I not supposed to write something? They say, no, don't write anything. Just bring the child. Immediately, you start feeling something is not right with this school. Yeah. You go to a hospital. They say, no, just come. They say, I don't have to sign. You don't have to sign anything. Just come. You are booked for operation tomorrow. I'm booked for operation tomorrow. Yeah, you are booked for operation tomorrow. I don't have to sign it. You don't have to sign anything. Doctor, do you know my name? I don't need to know your name. Does that matter? Are you here for me to know your name? Or are you here for me to operate you? Hey! You know, even though you need the operation, you call your husband or your father and say, Papa, you know what? Get me out of this hospital. Something is wrong with this hospital. They are not taking my details.
But you want to be in the church. 10 years. Nobody must know your details. You cannot even be in the clinic for 30 minutes. They take your details immediately. Open a file. Some of you have files all over town. You have files with the pediatrician. You have files with the what? Dentist. You have. Don't people open files when they come to your practice? Just for the teeth. They open a file for the teeth. Some of you have pets. You open a file for your dog and they also have details of yourself. Even your pets, they open files. You are a member and you shouldn't have a file. This is from the devil. It's from the devil. There's no other explanation. There's no other explanation. Praise the Lord. I see files are opening. Amen. When I was going to Ghana, I did a fundraising here. By the way, thank you for all of you who contributed. There's a particular person that came. It was her first time to this church. She came and took my envelope. I was asking myself, do we understand each other here? Because you are here for the first time. And you are saying you're going to contribute. I also just gave the envelope by faith. It was the last time I saw her. But I was not surprised because I know that you can't just take an envelope like that. But you know, with my people, blow, blow. This thing, talks. This one, we don't care. We just say, no, we're going to do it. No, there's no. Because we are, our words are not, our actions don't follow our words anyway. So we give you the words. If the words you want, we give you the words. No, Pastor, I will open the file. Don't worry. Just preach the word for today. Preach the word for Sunday. We are opening the files. But they don't mean it. And as soon as they walk out of here, they will not do it. But let them have a challenge. And let Pastor not come. Then I have started World War III. Even if they will not say, but they will not be happy. They will not be happy in their hearts. Pastor didn't come. Pastor didn't call me. This is not my message. I'm just helping you to understand. This is what we are going through. I want you to register yourself. Tell me you are a member of this church. That way I know who I have. Who I'm answerable to. Can I show you just one more verse? All right, I want to show you one verse because I don't think you understand my job. Today I'm wearing my reverend attire as I'm addressing this matter. I came dressing. I think let me release. You need to understand whom you are dealing with. Members don't know my job, and that's why they treat me anyhow. They don't understand my job. They don't understand what I'm called to do. And I've got a difficult job of first telling people what I'm supposed to do and then starting to do the job on them. The doctor doesn't have to tell you what he has to do. He just starts doing what he has to do. You offer yourself. Everybody offer themselves, but a pastor, usually he must explain himself first. He must give reasons before people, and not even everybody. Not even everybody. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Yet, before God, I have the greatest job as far as your life is concerned. Because where the doctors finish, where the teachers finish, where the bankers finish, I still continue. And yet I'm treated with derision. I'm treated with despisement. It's an amazement. It's an amazement. It's an amazement. I want to show you something so that you can understand my job to you. And that you should actually think twice when you hear that I'm announcing something or we are doing something. Because I don't always come here making announcements. I've been pastoring this church since 2011. This is the first time since 2011 that I'm saying, let's talk about membership. You think about it. If it is something that I'm into, something that I want to take something from you. After how many years am I standing here to say, let's talk membership? It didn't even matter to me. If it wasn't that God is saying to me, now you need to know who you have. It didn't matter. I mean, I was just going to continue doing my thing. Because I'm having this. No, I just want to help. I just want to help. But you help better when you have data. You help better. How will I know how many widows I have? How will I know how many widowers I have? How will I know how many orphans I have? I don't know how many people are in every category I have. How many unemployed people I have. Each one of those information can help me serve my people better. But the people say, no, we will not tell you anything. We will not register ourselves. You are after something. You want something from us. I want to show you a verse and we're going to pray. If you can find the verse, it says, obey your pastors, they will give an account for your soul. I can't find it here now. Just check Hebrews 13 verse 17. Could be the one. Yeah, that's the one. Hebrews 13, 17. Praise the Lord. Amen. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Every pastor is going to give an account before God for every member God gave him. I'm going to stand before God and I must give an account of every soul God has given me. How am I going to account for people that didn't see me as their leader? I can't account for them. I can't account. So I'm building the database so that when I stand before Jesus, I say, Jesus, you know, that name you are mentioning, let's go and check in the ABC database. Is the name appearing there? Then Jesus will ask the angel, okay, check. We are in A section. The angel said, we've gone through the A sections. Their name is, okay, so I can't answer for that person because in 2025, I said that let's all register so I know who are my members. This person was in the church that day. They didn't register. So it means they didn't consider me as their pastor. So I can't account for them. He said, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that will be of no advantage to you. When your pastor has to serve you with as a burden, it is not of an advantage to you. You do what you want, where you want, how you want. But you see, you can't do that with a doctor. You can't do that with your teacher. You can't do that with your banker. But you can do that with your pastor. You can do that with your pastor. He's one of the lowest people in your life. If I come to check your phones now, you will see where my name, if my name even appears in your phone. As what? Check the phone. The person that is supposed to give an account for your soul one day. Look, if how often do you call him? How often do you talk to him? What connection is there between you and him? But he has to give an account for you one day. you tell me. This is not a job that your teacher will do. Your teacher will be struggling with his own sins. All these people, your pastor will stand before God. New King James, if you can. Yeah. Look at this. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls as those who must give account. So I must account for your soul, sir. I must account for your soul. Do you understand? That's why I say, see me very well. Understand who I am. Understand who I am. I'm going to account for your soul. Not for your body. For your soul. If you understood the job of your pastor, you will do everything you can to make it easier for him. Because you want him, when he's accounting, he must account well. He must have the information. Everything must be there. You put all the files readily available for him so that anything Jesus asks, he just say, okay, there was this. I can't do that with FBI agents. I can't do that with CIA agents. I can't. This is my job. Let them do so with joy, not with grief. It's not a wonder many pastors commit suicide every year. It's not just because of this. It's also because the people they are serving are not helping them serve them better. You say pay your tithe, they don't pay. You say come and give, they don't give. Everything is bad. If you go on social media now, you will not find people attacking hospitals. You will not find people attacking lawyers. You will not find people attacking all the other institutions that are in the society. But almost every YouTuber has found the quickest way to make money by attacking pastors. That's what they all do. That's what everybody is doing. It's pastors and politicians. People are making money out of pastors. Yes. It's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. So today, certain pastors can't even stand in the congregation and ask people to give. Because if you do that, somebody is going to take the video, cut everything else you said, take a small portion, and then they start talking. And he's now going to make the pastor doesn't have confidence to even do the will of God anymore. That's what is going on. And the only institution that is attacked like that is the church and pastors. I don't know any other group that is. You have artists that are doing the worst of the worst. Oh, but they don't attack them that much. I'll be teaching here. I'll be mentioning a scripture. Somebody will cut everything I said before and everything I said after. He will take a small portion, twist the whole thing, and say, I'm a false prophet. Are you catching what I'm saying today? Yeah, so we really need to check ourselves. Let's check ourselves. And some of you that go on YouTube to watch those things, you go to watch, you hear what they're saying about this pastor, what they're saying about that pastor. What this person that is giving us this information about this pastor, can they give us also information about their life? Who appointed them to be the judge of pastors? Do you know? Come, sir. You see, when you are here, nobody knows you. Sit down. Sit down. You see, if I didn't call you, people will not even know that you are sitting here where you are sitting. Now I take you. Come, please. I take you and I place you here. You see, from the moment I place you here, now everybody can see you. Anything you do, people can see it. And that's what people don't understand. Is that the reason you are aware of my mistake? Because the lights are on me. If we were to shift the light just on you for a second, you are busy exposing me, but if we were to turn the spotlight on you for just 30 minutes, the things we will see there, So there's a statement, when you point a finger, three fingers are pointing back at you. Three. I don't know how we ended up talking about all these things, to tell you the truth. I always tell myself, I'm going to come here and just preach the word and just be nice. But before I know it, I think it's the way God called me. And I should stop fighting with how God wants me to do. Hallelujah. Because there are people who enjoy the way I teach. They enjoy the way I preach. They enjoy the way I share the word. I might not share it like other pastors, but the way I share the word, some people like it. They like it. They like it. They're saying, Pastor, tell us the truth. You are telling us the truth. It's good what you are saying. Do you know many pastors cannot talk the way I'm talking? They are cowards. The members have tamed them. The members have tamed their pastor. The pastor can't talk. Does that help? How many of you saw that video of this lecturer who started beating a student in front of the other students? He punched her. He called her out. He did like this. And he punched. I thought it was a movie until I realized, actually, it's happening live. Yeah. But do you know how many students have beaten teachers? You. They will beat their teacher. They beat their math teacher. They beat their SS teacher. Where will he gather the confidence to come again and talk? Me, I know of a teacher. He didn't tell me. He told me himself. They transferred him to a new school. First day, everything went well. Second day, a young girl came and sat there. She didn't have an underwear. She came and sat in front, first row. As soon as he's standing there, she just does like this. Hey! I'm not saying somebody told me. I say he told me himself. Right in the front. She just opens small and then she closes again. He starts seeing the stars. Jupiter and Mars. Yeah. Before long, he had to ask for a transfer. Couldn't stay. So they beat him with those things. Some they beat physically. Some they abuse, they manipulate, they do all kinds of things to pastors and to teachers. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All of this for registration. Lisa, I mean, I'm sweating for registration. I cannot even preach what I came to preach. I'm sweating like this just because I'm trying to get people to register as members. Wow. To register. I mean, just to register as a member. Pastor is sweating, showing his cross. I mean, I'm going upper level just to show you that. Why can't you register as a member? I hope I got your attention. Amen. Well, our time is up. I wanted to talk to you this morning about becoming significant. And because our time is up, I'm just going to give you one verse and we're going to close. Jeremiah 30 verse 19. You can find the message on YouTube. It will bless you. Thanksgiving will come out of them. Sounds of celebration. I will multiply them. May God multiply you.
Amen.
Pastor, they will not decrease. I will honor them. They will not be what? Read the English word.
Insignificant.
They will not be insignificant. That's what God is saying. God is saying we should not be insignificant. Take note of this. To be insignificant is to be small and unimportant in such a way as to have no effect. You are small and unimportant in such a way as to have no effect. And they say you are insignificant. When you are insignificant, you are small and unimportant in such a way as to never be noticed. Number three, small and unimportant in such a way as to not affect anyone. When God is saying he doesn't want us to be insignificant, when you are insignificant, you can be somewhere but nobody notices you. Your life doesn't affect anybody's life. I mean, whether you live or you die, it makes no difference. Nobody is changed by you being there or by you not being there. Have you noticed those students that when they are absent, nobody knows they are absent? They don't notice that you were there or you were not there. To be insignificant is to be small or unimportant in such a way as to never make your mark in history. But history can never remember you. When we talk about the history of your family, can your name come up as a significant name? Huh? When we talk about the history of your school, can your name come up as a significant name in the school? When we talk about the history of your church, can your name come up as a significant member that has affected the church? Shall not be insignificant. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. I came to tell you, you shall not be insignificant. And that is what my goal is this month. You shouldn't be insignificant. You shouldn't be insignificant. And I want to tell you the truth. Our background didn't help us. If I have to be honest with you, most of us are coming from insignificant backgrounds. When you mention the name of the place where you were born, nobody knows what you're talking about. When you mention the name of the school that you're attending, nobody knows what you're talking about. It's not Harvard, it's not Yale, it's not Oxford, it's not big names. So you are already cooked in insignificance from the very beginning. And usually when you come from such background, what you want is at least to make it to average. land is going to become significant in this community. And a time is going to come where it will not be in taverns where young people will go and destroy themselves. They will come to the house of God and receive direction for their lives. This church, we have started with a few. We're going to continue being significant little by little. Little by little, little by little, little by little. A time is going to come where the area will fill. There's a church in this community. To us, and the word is going to start working in us, working in us, working in us, and a time is going to come where those very same young people I saw yesterday destroying themselves, my heart was beating, and I don't know, because my calling is for young people. Not that I don't minister to everybody, but you must see where God is working. So whatever is fighting in Lidak is fighting me head to head. The thing is fighting me like this. He's saying to me, you will not work here. You did your things at Sun City. You did your thing. Here, I have the young people in my hand. I say, oh, you are right for now. For now. Let me admit. Right now, most of the young people are in your hands. But we're going to become significant by the grace of God. And so we're going to be so significant that they will notice there is another kind of a church. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? You're going to realize there's another type of a church in this community. People in the hands of the devil. We will not do it. We will not do it. And I tell you, every one of you will become worth mentioning in your school. Which school am I going to tomorrow morning? Tomorrow morning I'm in Twaedi. Ha! I'm going there tomorrow to tell them, let's be significant. Let's be significant with our lives. And we are pushing for 2 million as well. I hope the team is working. Because I gave her to Eddie, I gave you 2 million. She already got a breakthrough in Twaedi. We have to be significant. We have to show to the people that there's a great God in heaven and he still rules the affairs of earth. That nonsense is going to finish. Our last verse for the day. Matthew 5:13. You're going to love this. Before Matthew 5. Let me give you Matthew 5:14. You're going to love this. You are the light. You are what? You are the light of the world. He's not saying be the light. He said you are the light of the world. You know what that means? You appreciate light during load sheddings. When there's load shedding, there's no light. When light comes, you can see how significant light is. You realize how significant light is when there was darkness. Just now, it was dark. But around 6 a.m., the sun started rising. And you can clearly see now how significant light is, because we are using very little light, but you can see everywhere. Because the sun is significant wherever it goes. Bible says you are the light of your family. Ah, you are the light. You are the light. You are the light. In other words, your contribution is not nothing. Your contribution is very important. Don't see yourself as a nobody. You are not a nobody. I say you are not a nobody. You are the light of your family. You are the light. You are the light. Light is significant. You know how significant it is when it's not there. And you see the many things you cannot do. A city that is set on a hill. What a significant position. I know you look at yourself, there's nothing much. There's nothing much about me. I came to tell you there's something much about you. There's something very, very much about you. And God is saying you are the light. God is saying you are the light. You are the light. You are the light. It means you are significant. And if you can see it, you will become it. The man standing before you, one of the most cursed individual in my little knowledge, the most cursed individual I could ever see was Pastor Pascal. Cursed. People cursed me with words. I was cursed even from my background. Man, poverty was my greatest friend. The man standing here before you, telling you to be significant. That's his background. Yeah. I don't know which excuse you are using to say, I can never be, I can never amount, I can never. I was that times 10, I times 100. You know, some people are cursed and they don't believe they are cursed. Me, I didn't just believe it, I knew it. Fully. Yeah. From that to what you are seeing now, I'm sure you should see that I know what I'm talking about. God is going to take us from this place of nothing. Nothingness. Nobody sees us as anything. When we are walking on the street, people look at us like we are nobodies. No problem. You give God some time. You give God some time. God is going to rise. God is going to rise inside you. And you will become significant. You think I ever went somewhere and people were impressed? Do you think anybody ever even stood up when I'm coming somewhere? I was a nobody. Nobody, nothing. And people didn't say anything in me. He came for me. He took me from that low place. And he started working on me. And he's been working on me. And he's going to start working on you. And he's going to be working on you. Today you are insignificant. But tomorrow, you'll become the light. Amen. In other words, when you are not there, people are in the dark. When you are not there, people cannot see. When you are not there, people cannot do certain things. Because you are not there. Because you are not there. Because you are not there. Put your hands together for Jesus. You're going to become the light. I'm preaching now and I'm prophesying at the same time. You're going to become the light. The light. The light. Not a light. The light. Kama so pelema. In other words, there are lights, but then there is you. There is you. There are lights and then there is you. In my little life, I have become a bit of a light. So, you know that people today, their whole lives have been reshifted because of this little man standing here. Yeah. A person that was a nobody. Even today, my friends, sometimes they say, are the South Africans being fooled or what? Because we know you. I say, you don't know me. Oh. The version of me you thought you knew is an old syllabus. That is an old syllabus. You have no clue who I am. You better learn something. You better learn something. You have no clue who I am. And that is what you're going to tell people. They think they know you because you grew up from here, you came up from here, you've been here. I came to tell you, you will tell people, you don't know me at all. You don't know me. Stop deceiving yourself. Give me 5:17. Let's close there. Oh, yes. 13. 5:13. Oh, yes. You are what? Ooh. You are what? Please say it well. You are what? Maybe you didn't understand the light, but I'm sure you'll understand the salt. Have you ever eaten food that didn't have salt? Was the difference significant to you? Like when you ate the food with that salt, didn't you feel something was missing? Huh? Almost everything, including vegetables. Do you understand? When you put a bit of salt on them, they become nicer. Anything you eat without salt is a torture. It's a punishment. Look, when you want to punish your children, cook rice without salt. Cook their best meal. They don't put salt. And then tell them, come and eat. And tell me if they will enjoy it. As soon as you start eating it, you will feel something is missing. The spices are there. The pepper is there. The cabbage is there. But something is missing. I'm a salt. Ah! People will look around and say, someone is missing here. Someone is missing here. You are the salt. I say you are the salt. You are the salt. You're going to be so significant, just like salt. When you are not in a meeting, people can't have the meeting. They can't have the meeting. They will try, but they will know, hey, you know what, somebody is missing. Let's just wait. They keep calling, how far? How far are you? Okay, can we send you money for transport? I mean, what is happening? Because you're going to become significant. You're going to become significant. You're going to become significant. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I enjoy all of you, young people. I enjoy you. Don't think I'm pretending. I'm not. I actually enjoy being with you. Because I know out there, nobody cares. Like they don't think you are, they don't see anything in you. They see you as a problem. But here, in this church, within these four walls, you will find significance for your life. We will help you discover that you are not a nobody. You have a vision, you have a purpose, you have a destiny. Most of you young girls, as soon as your breasts start showing, people, the only thing people start seeing is a sex, something to sleep with you. Yes, that's all they see. That's all they see. Even your parents, they start saying certain things. And you are already busy with boys. Don't bring a pregnancy here. Even your mother can't see anything else. They don't see anything beyond that thing. But the Bible says you are the salt. You are the salt. This person, they are busy insulting in the family. They don't know. Tomorrow, you will be the main person in this family. You will be the main person in this family. That will be providing for everybody in the family. My elder sister, she had 3 daughters. And then she fell pregnant again. She decided, no, I can't. She went and committed abortion. After she committed abortion, the baby didn't. She went and committed abortion the second time.
on the same child. The baby didn't die. And she went and committed abortion for the third time on the same child. And the baby didn't die. After 9 months, after the third abortion, she surrendered. She said, okay, it's okay. I said, this baby doesn't want to die. So after 9 months, a little baby girl came out. Beautiful. Today, as I'm talking to you, that little baby girl is the one taking this woman to the hospital, paying all her bills. She has never stopped crying. He said, I almost killed my own help. This little girl that she wanted to kill 3 times is the little girl that sends her money every month. This little girl that she wanted to kill 3 times is the little girl that removed her. She was living in some poor place. This girl called her, say, Mama. She's overseas. The only daughter of this woman that took enter the plane is that little girl. Enter the plane many times over. Call the mother, say, Mama, I don't like the place where you stay. Look for any place that you like. Send me the bill. That little girl that she tried to kill 3 times is paying her bills for months and years now. Insignificant. So insignificant, she wanted to get rid of it 3 times. But it has become the most significant thing in her life. Why do you think your destiny is sealed such that nothing great can come out of you? What makes you think that? Why? Why? Look at my own life. Many people in this church know how I started, and they know where I am. It's not the same place. The same thing will happen to many of you here. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you are like that child. Nobody likes you. Yesterday, I'm amazed people like me today. People didn't like me much. Oh, growing up, no. People rejected me so many times. Like, no, people didn't like me much. I mean, I even struggle with accepting it sometimes. I was so used to being rejected. When you are so used to something, it's just normal for you. I mean, it's just normal. I'm talking about these things with painful clarity so that you can get helped. If you are going through something similar, don't think it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. You can let God into it, that's your little insignificance. You will see what He will do with you. You will see how God will start changing your life. And you will see how God will turn you around. And the same people that mock you will come and praise you. Praise the Lord. Can we be on our feet, please? Let's stand on our feet. I hope you are blessed. don't you lift your voice and raise your hands to him right now and say, Lord, you have been good, and I know you will be good. I can't hear your voice, church. Come on, ABC, raise your voice. Raise your voice to the heavens. Raise your voice to the heavens. Oh, talk to God right now. Raise your voice and talk to him. He's a good God. And the word has come to break every yoke. Father, thank him for the word that has come to lift you from the dust, to lift you from the mud, to lift you from your current condition. Receive this word, believe this word. When you believe, God can act on your belief.
First step into significance is to surrender your life to Jesus. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So life begins with the Son. It begins with the Son. I want to help somebody here. Pastor, I want to live a life of significance. I want to make a difference in my community. I want to make a difference in my church. I want to make a difference in my family. I want to make a difference in my relationship, but I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. You've been describing me throughout the preaching. And where do I start? Well, this is where we start. Number one, give Jesus your life. Your life cannot become significant in your hands. But your life will become significant in Jesus' hands. So give your life to Jesus. I'm going to count up to three. If you are saying, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want him to become my Lord and my Savior. I want him to rule over my life, the affairs of my life. When you hear three, please don't be ashamed. Just raise your right hand. And Pastor will pray with you and for you. One. Two. Three, raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands are rising. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can take your hands down. Now, you are here. You are already saved. You're already born again. But this morning, you can clearly see that even though you are born again, but you haven't been living a life of significance, it's not working. Pastor, what do I do? Well, recommit to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of significance. Recommit to him right now. Pastor, I want you to commit my life to Jesus. I want to live for Jesus once again. At the count of three. You can also add your hand to the hands I've already been lifted up. And I'll pray with you. I want you to commit one, two, three. Your hand up. I want you to commit to Jesus. Anyone? God bless you. I want you to commit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, all of you that raise your hands first and second time, don't be ashamed. Come and join me on stage so I can pray with you. Come quickly. Let's pray together. Oh, come on. Let's celebrate God as they come. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
the heavens. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray together. Amen. And church, you can also join in the prayer. You can just pray along as we commit our lives to Jesus and as we allow Him to help us, to fix us, to change our destinies. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. From today, I choose to live for you. Let your precious blood cleanse me from all sins. Please write my name in the book of life. My name is, please say your name. Write this name in the book of life. When I leave this world, let me be with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for these ones that have come into your presence. Thank you for your word that is healing us. Thank you for your presence that is reshaping us. Father, right now, I pray, touch each one of us. Bless each one of us. Help your children. Forgive their sins. Cleanse them from all iniquity. And just like they've asked, Lord, may their names be written in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.